3. The attachment. She's gone to Harvey Nichols and gotten sick. Should have known better. How she responds to labels. Down into menswear, unrealistically hoping that if anyone might have a Buzz Rickson's, it would be Harvey Nichols, their ornate Victorian pile rising like a coral reef opposite Knightsbridge Station. Somewhere on the ground floor in cosmetics, they even have Helena Stone Street's cucumber mask, Bernard having explained to her how he'd demonstrated his considerable powers of suasion on the HN buyers. But down here, next to a display of Tommy Hilfiger, it's all started to go sideways on her, a trademark thing. Less warning aura than usual. Some people ingest a single peanut and their head swells like a basketball. When it happens to Case, it's her psyche. Tommy Hilfiger does it every time, though she'd thought she was safe now. They'd said he'd peaked in New York. Like Benetton, the name would be around, but the real poison for her would have been drawn. It's something to do with context here, with not expecting it in London. When it starts, it's pure reaction, like biting down hard on a piece of foil. A glance to the right, and the avalanche lets go, a mountainside of Tommy coming down in her head. My God, don't they know? This stuff is simulacra of simulacra of simulacra. A diluted tincture of Ralph Lauren, who had himself diluted the glory days of Brooks Brothers, who themselves had stepped on the product of German Street and Savile Row, flavoring their ready-to-wear with liberal lashings of polo knit and regimental stripes. But Tommy, surely, is the null point, the black hole. There must be some Tommy Hilfiger event horizon, beyond which it is impossible to be more derivative, more removed from the source, more devoid of soul. Or so she hopes, and doesn't know, but suspects in her heart that this, in fact, is what accounts for his long ubiquity. She needs out of this logo maze, desperately, but the escalator to the street exit will dump her back into Knightsbridge, seeming somehow now more of the same. And she remembers that the street runs down, and always her energy with it, to Sloane Square, another nexus of whatever she suffers these reactions to. Laura Ashley down there, and that can get ugly. Remembering the fifth floor, here, a sort of Californian market, Dean and DeLuca light, with a restaurant, a separate and weirdly modular robotic sushi operation humming oddly in its midst, and a bar where they served excellent coffee. Caffeine she's held in reserve today, a silver bullet against serotonin lack and big weird feelings. She can go there. There's a lift, yes, a lift, a closet-sized elevator, small but perfectly formed. She will find it. And use it. Now. She does. It arrives, miraculously empty, and she steps in, pressing 5.
I'm feeling rather excited,
a woman says, breathily, as the door closes, though Case knows she's alone in this upright coffin of mirror and brushed steel. Fortunately, she's been this way before, and knows that these disembodied voices are there for the amusement of the shopper. Purrs the male of the species. The only equivalent audio environment she can recall was in the restroom of an upscale hamburger joint on Rodeo Drive years ago, an inexplicable soundtrack of buzzing insects. Flies, it had sounded like, though surely that couldn't have been the intent.